I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol Strider.
And together we will explore the truth through conscious conversation, poetry, music, skits, and your comments. If you had some trouble with the beginning of this show, let me tell you what happened.
Well, it's a big... By the way, I want to back up on you said conscious conversation. And I have to apologize in advance because sometimes I am known to go unconscious. My wife will often tell me about my unconscious nature. So, you know, if I kind of digress, you'll understand why. But the reason we couldn't get on the show right on time with this. Now, we live in 110 acres of this beautiful place, Lupin Lodge, where we said, you know, as I said, the clothes is always always optional. But we have deer. Now, the deer are also clothing optional deer. They wear fur. But with them, it's politically correct for them to wear fur, unlike the other Northern Californians who would not be politically correct. Anyway, the deer were banging on the window wondering, what are you doing tonight with these people?
They weren't doing any of those things. It has to do with ports. I know nothing about ports, but seems the port on our a little computer plugging into the people in Canada got misconstrued.
it's a misconstrued port. It's a new port. We have sherry, we have port, we have cream port, and we have misconstrued
God. Port. So we apologize to all of you who were listening to last week's show and wondering what in heaven's name is going on here. And last week we talked about the naked truth, the truth of the naked truth. And this week we're going to talk about naked part of the naked truth.
And that's why this show is called It's Good to Be Naked.
Errol really believes that if you don't have to wear clothes, why would
exactly,
you?
Exactly, right.
And I'm so happy to be here because I don't worry about him being arrested for being naked.
Although the other night when I started to walk outside of the house naked,
I almost stopped and went, wait, put some clothes on. So we are very habituated to living in a clothing world. Well, here we go. We're going to talk about naked.
Naked.
What does it mean to be naked? The obvious on the physical level is to be without clothes or undressed. And what does that look like on the emotional, mental, and spiritual levels? Being emotionally naked, does that mean revealing what you are feeling second by second? Does intellectual nakedness mean subjecting others to an intellectual discourse on anything nameable? Or spiritual naked, oming your way through life? Naked to me is not so much about what we do as it is how we receive. The words vulnerable and open and willing come to mind. Uncovered by misconceptions and illusions also are apparent. Unguarded, receptive. How can we be receptive if we are guarded? And to be unguarded is to be truly naked. You know, living in a clothing optional community is an experience that allows me to see that being without clothes is not always naked, just nude. How willing are we to be truly naked, to be so much who we genuinely are, without the clothes of illusion? When I speak of being intellectually naked, a state of openness comes to mind, forever learning, gleaning from the knowledge and experience of the past, allowing the future to be a result of that. And then spiritually naked. I mean, is it possible when one is spiritual to be anything other than naked? To realize I stand before creation, devoid of all concepts, in harmony with all of life's energy, finding treasures in the expansiveness of my consciousness as my judgments dissolve into oblivion. Being naked seems to elicit a sense of freedom, joy, and expansiveness. Being naked seems to create a sense of harmony, skin breathing, mind in discovery, feelings of awe and expansion of soul. And when the truth is naked, I need not try to uncover it. It is. And I am that much more for experiencing it.
Rochelle is just smiling naked, away because she's really has a gift for being able to focus our attention on the subject. I had my own little riff on naked, if I may. First of all, it's good to be naked. It was good when you started, and it'll be good enough when you're done. And it's pretty good when you're just full of life. It's good when you're with your beloved. It's good when you're all alone. And believe it or not, it's good when you're with other people, even people you don't know. So anyway, we like to say to people, come on down, slip off that facade, put on something more comfortable, sunlight, water, and the love of nature, eager to embrace you with its majesty, splendor, and the intimacy of its presence. And as I said, you'll see deer, and they're naked, except for their fur. But we told them, don't make all the racket. For those of you who don't live with deer, we have a quiet deer. And they come up to you within a few feet. But if you try and talk to them or say something or be aggressive with them, they just kind of move along.
They're quite beautiful, aren't they?
They are quite beautiful. Well, let's get naked, okay? Let's really get naked and see what's we got to look at. So we thought we'd do another piece for you as a way of getting naked. This is a piece from our repertoire that we've done for many years, live and in person, and we're going to share it with you now. It's called Three Little Words. Are you ready?
Well, let's set the setting.
Go ahead and set the setting, and I'll
cue it up. It takes place in a psychologist's office, and he's sitting there waiting for his client. I'll be playing the client, and Errol will be playing the psychologist. And rushing through a door, out of breath, and emotionally troubled, comes a young woman. Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. Oh, my goodness. I missed the bus, and I tried to get a cab. I couldn't get a cab. And I want you to know, I ran all the way here because I can't stand being late for our sessions because you charge so much.
Wait a minute. I don't charge you when you're not here.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I wish I had known that before. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I have
relax.
To catch my breath here.
Relax. Sit down. Take your coat off.
Oh, thank you.
That's a very nice coat. That's a red. I've never seen you wear red.
I know.
That's pretty.
I have become much more courageous since being with you.
Yeah.
Yes, I am wearing red as a color of stepping out and letting everybody see me and not hiding.
That is so fantastic. You know, I think you've just made some amazing progress. And we've only been doing this for, what, 6, 7 weeks? Something.
Seven. 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
I'm
but
just,
he's counting.
Right. So tonight, because you're just doing so great, I just thought maybe we'd try something a little different.
Different?
In our session. Yeah, something. It's very simple, very accessible. I don't think you'll have any problem with it.
Sure.
Okay.
I can wear a red jacket. I can take on something different.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
All right. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to say three words.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
And the words are, I am beautiful.
Just say them.
Yeah.
I don't have to mean them, do I?
Yeah. Just say them.
Right.
Just say the words.
Just say them. Three little words.
What? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got a stain on my pants. Oh, man, I am a dirt magnet. I swear to God, I just got these out of the cleaners. And now they're dirty all over again. I wonder if I could shout them out. You know, shout that product that is advertised on
right,
TV.
Right.
I bet you don't have a TV, do you? I bet you don't even watch television.
Just say I am beautiful.
I know. No, it's okay. It's all right. I'm ready. I just watch that stain. I hate dirty pants. Okay. What am I supposed to do?
I am beautiful.
Oh, right. I am beautiful. Okay. Here we go. Oh my God. I have to tell you this dream I had last night. This dream is the best dream I've ever had in terms of explaining my relationship with my mother. In this dream, I dreamt that my mother was 60 feet tall and I was an inch tall, and she was about to take a step, and I was trying to tell her, Ma, don't move, I'm down here. But of course, I was an inch tall and she was 60 feet tall, so obviously she couldn't hear me. And her foot started coming down and down and down, and just before she stepped on me, I woke up. But I thought, oh my God, this is ridiculous. I mean, how can I go on like this with my mother? I should call her up and invite her to lunch and, you know, let's just talk like people and forget all the wounds of the past and stuff like that. And then I forgot, so I started to feel guilty.
Shelley.
What?
Shelley, just say, I am beautiful.
I know. It's just that you always told me the first thing I should do when I come in here is tell you my dreams, because they always lead to really important openings.
You're right.
I'm right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Do you want to try it now?
What?
I am beautiful.
Oh, right. oh, my God. You will never believe what just popped into my head. I have not thought of this since it happened. I mean, I'm 9 years old. Get the picture. I'm 9 years old. I'm with two other girls. We're going to school. I'm standing at a light, and there's a woman with a little boy, and the little boy looks at me and points at me and says to his mother, Ma, she looks just like Pinhead. Pinhead. Pinhead was this character on television when I was a little girl, had a pointy head and big ears and a long nose and a little mouth and no chin. And my friends, they didn't say anything. They didn't go, oh, no, you don't look like Pinhead. They just stood there moving from one foot to another, and I wanted to go right through this sidewalk and die. I mean, really.
Shelley.
What?
Try just saying the three words I gave you. I am beautiful.
Right.
Just say them.
Because I have nice eyes. Everyone's always said, you have nice eyes. Because my nose is a little long and my mouth is a little small. But, you know, lipstick makes it look a little bigger. And I grew into my ears. My mother always said, you'll grow into your ears. And that time she was really right. I grew into my ears. So, you know, I'm not bad looking. I'm really not bad looking. I have gotten nicer as I got older, and my husband.
Sure.
What?
Say I am beautiful for me, please.
Well,
just say it.
You know, my husband sometimes says that to me. He says, you know, he does, but because it's usually
just
when he wants what?
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but just say I am beautiful.
I don't know why it's so difficult.
No. Just go
just
ahead.
Just three words, right?
Just go ahead, say them.
I don't even have to believe it if I don't want to, right? Okay. I'm beautiful. Aha! I said it. Okay.
Good.
All right, let's go on. Okay.
Good. Say it again.
Again?
Yeah.
Oh, it took everything out of me just to say that. Okay. I'm if I pucker up my lips and put my hands behind my head and move sensually in my body,
Shelley.
Maybe you'll think that I'm so beautiful. Yes, dear.
Shelley.
What?
Just say I'm beautiful.
You didn't get what I just did.
I got opposed.
Like they do in movie magazines.
I got it.
Just say I am beautiful. Okay, I'll do it again. I'm beautiful?
It's not a question. It's a statement with the period on the end.
I am beautiful. There, I did it.
Good.
I did it. Period.
Good. Excellent.
Period.
Now, wait, this is good. Now, let yourself kind of drop into the feeling of it.
Feeling of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi. I, oh man, this is not easy. I do have to believe it, don't I? I'm beautiful.
Good.
Whoa.
Say it again. Try it again. You're good.
I am beautiful. I am beautiful. I'm beautiful. I am beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. I am beautiful. You can try this at home.
But in the meantime, allow yourself just to reflect on that piece, and we'll play this little piece of music that I think you'll enjoy.
Morning, Brian!
Hi, Kate Monster!
How's life?
Disappointing!
What's the matter?
The catering company laid me off.
Sorry.
Me too. I mean, look at me. I'm 10 years out of college, and I always thought, oh.
What?
No, it sounds stupid.
Aw, come on.
When I was little, I thought I would be.
What?
A big comedian on late night TV. But now I'm 32, and as you can see, I'm not.
Nope.
Oh, well. It sucks to be me. It sucks to be me. It sucks to be broke and unemployed and turning 33. It sucks to be me.
You think your life sucks?
I think so.
Your problems aren't so bad. I'm kind of pretty. I'm pretty damn smart.
You are.
Thanks. I like romantic things like music and art. And as you know, I have a gigantic heart. So why don't I have a boyfriend?
Too.
It sucks to be me.
It sucks to be me. It sucks to be Brian.
And Kate.
To not have a job.
To not have a date.
It sucks to be me.
No, I can't talk to this before.
Hey, Rod, Nikki, can you settle something for us? Do you have a second?
Certainly.
Whose life sucks more, Brian's or mine?
Ours.
We live together.
We're close as people can get.
We've been the best of buddies
ever since the day we met.
So he knows lots of ways to make me really upset.
Whoa.
Oh, every day is an aggravation.
Come on, that's an exaggeration.
You leave your clothes out.
Whoa.
You put your feet on my chair.
Oh, yeah? You do such anal things like ironing your underwear.
You make that very small apartment we share a hell.
So do you. That's why I'm in hell too.
It sucks to be me.
No, it sucks to be me.
It sucks to be me.
It sucks to be me.
Is there anybody here it doesn't suck to be? It sucks to be me.
It sucks to be me. I think that kind of reflects a point of view that a lot of people seem to take that I encounter, and I certainly encounter it in myself. I notice that whenever I'm acting out or being in some way abusive or trying to prove myself or arrogant or afraid or guilty, it's because way deep down inside there's this little voice of doubt that says, it sucks to be me.
Isn't that from Avenue Q or
yes,
something like
Avenue
that?
Yes, Avenue Q, yes,
that's
thank you.
That's a Broadway show. As I was listening to that and reflecting on all that we've been talking about, I realized I wrote this line, said, disrobing the ego, that's naked.
You know, that reminds me, we're going to have an event coming up pretty soon. It's a catch and release show for the ego. That's right.
A catch and release
show. Yes, catch and release of the ego, though, rather than fish, of course. And the way it works is this, is that you catch your ego in one of its shenanigans. Now, when we speak of the ego, what we are talking about is the part of the mind that somehow gets its validity, gets its very life from being separated from everybody else. Now, this is like a big unknown kind of human secret, it seems, because what happens is the ego, this thing that's like doesn't want to be found out, but it wants to maintain its separation. That's how it knows itself. So every time you catch your ego in some form of that, so it might be something like, give me an example, pushing off, like, tell me what to do.
Or I'm better than you, or I'm worse than you, is usually like where the ego comes, and that's right. The way you separate yourself from, like you judge. You judge somebody as being better than you or worse than you, and you're not equal to that person, and that's how you maintain the separation, because you're here or you're there. You can't see my hands, but one hand is high and one hand is low.
But you can't really tell, because Rochelle is actually upside down right now. So.
You're the silliest person.
Well, yes.
Listen, I just want to interrupt our program just for a second to tell you that we're being sponsored by Go Raw, which is an organic natural food product produced in San Jose, California. And they create real live food. That's their passion. And they package it, and it's delicious. All kinds of seeds, sprouted pumpkin seeds.
This is an actual pumpkin seed bag of real live food.
And they make little crackers out of seeds that have been truly squashed together.
And you know what we have in common with them? We were made out of, well, not exactly seeds, but eggs and sperm. and here we are, though. So anyway, back to the catch and release ego program. So what happens is, when you catch yourself in one of this little game, because it doesn't serve you, the real you, the you that's actually authentic and at peace with itself and at home in the universe and willing to trust reality to unfold. Not that it's always unpainful, but nevertheless, there's this kind of fundamental trust in being part of this movement of existence, that it's fundamentally a friendly universe. But unfortunately, a lot of people experience the universe as being abusive, especially if they grow up in an abusive family. And of course, it leads to baggage, and it leads to all kinds of scarred reactions to reality, not the least of which is to stay covered up. And so part of the uncovering is, it's really about healing. We had some friends who came out here, and she had never allowed the sun to shine on her naked abdomen, and she was just like transported. It was very liberating. So that's a beginning. But ideally, you want to go to where you really, really can just dissolve anything that essentially keeps us from being and recognizing the love that we are.
Right, and that's very abstract, but I realize that in any situation, when I open myself up completely to another person, you know, allow them to come in the sense that I allow myself to hear them totally, allow myself to see them totally, without creating this separation between myself and them, what happens is that I feel naked, but naked in that way that our friend did. I feel that the light that exists between the two of us illuminates me as a result of my allowing that person into my space, into my consciousness, my heart.
One of the catch and release episodes that I've had recently is I caught my ego resisting criticism or suggestion because it needed to be right and perfect. That's a very popular ego activity, is wanting to be perfect and certainly not wanting to be judged.
Or wrong,
yeah.
I mean, when I grew up, my family, if you didn't agree with them, you were wrong. It wasn't like you had a different opinion, but you were wrong. So if I said black and everybody was saying white, and everybody would turn around and look at me like I had done something wrong, that it was a faux pas. And I always felt like, well, I better not express an opinion if it differs from someone else's. And it took years for me to be able to say, it's not about being right or wrong. It's just that I'm different. I have a different opinion. And that was very liberating.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if we had a mother who gave us this kind of input when we grew up? Listen to this song by Joan Baez.
Early, early in the game, I taught myself to sing and play and use a little trickery on kids who never favored me. Those were years of crinoline slips and cotton skirts and swinging hips and dangerously painted lips and stars of stage and screen. Fiddle pushers, ankle socks, padded bras and campus jocks who hid their vernal equinox in pairs of faded jeans and slept at home resentfully, coveting their dreams. But I look around and I wonder how the years and I survived. Well, I had a mother who sang to me an honest lullaby. Tonight I bowed my head at the football games and closed the prayer in Jesus' name. Lusted after football heroes, tough pachuco little Neros, forfeiting my A's for zeros, futures unforeseen. Spending all my energy in keeping my virginity and living in a fantasy in love with Jimmy Dean. If you will be my king, Jimmy, Jimmy, I will be your queen. I look around and I wonder how the years and I survive. I had a mother who sang to me an honest lullaby.
Oh, she sure captured my youth.
Didn't she? Well, she goes on. I gave you a little taste of the song, Honest Lullaby by Joan Baez, which you can get, like I did, on Amazon.
Oh,
but one thing beautiful I didn't get is figuring out how to get this cloud thing, you know. You'd think I'd be good at it because, as you pointed out many times, my head is always generally in a cloud. So you'd think I'd be able to work this out, but it's very complicated.
What are you talking about?
Getting the songs down into the computer. It's on this thing called Cloud they have now in the computer. That
oh,
shows you how old we are, Rochelle.
What you're talking about, the cloud. Your cloud, a cloudy mind.
That shows you. That if that song didn't date us, this last little dialogue certainly did.
But you know what I realized? That there's something that I long for, and it feels like a very naked longing. And what I long is to bore through the bedrock of my mind into the caverns of my consciousness to illuminate my truth. Every second I want that. So that's the poem of my longing.
My wife is a longer. She has a voracious appetite for deepening and dropping more deeply into the mystery. I had an experience of the taste of the mystery. Years ago, I was up in Nevada, what do you call it, Lake Tahoe area, and I was with my nephew, who's 10 years younger than I, and we had walked down this Emerald Bay, I think it's called, and you can walk down there by the bay. It's very beautiful, and we decided to go walking up the creek itself, not take the sidewalk, just climbing over the rocks. And we get about halfway up, and you know, we're out of breath and it's vigorous, we're sweating, it's just, you know, and it's beautiful out and you're up in the mountains, and we stopped and I got naked. I remember that this is appropriate. I got naked by sitting by this little pool of the running stream, and I jumped into the stream. Of course, it was mountain water, and it was invigorating. And then I got out, and I was sitting on a rock in the sun, and I felt so alive and so vital and so focused and pristine sitting there naked on the rock listening to the creek, that I decided to use that moment as an opportunity to just really go as deeply and as with as much focus and true trajectory into what is most essential to into the depths of my being. And what I experienced, the metaphor that I that came up was like I found inside there like a treasure, like a pirate treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there it was in there, and it was like surrounded by gold bullion, but it there was this treasure case, and then it was just this profound treasure, and I could feel the treasure, and of course I knew it wasn't material treasure, but I could feel how treasureful this place was, and that it was available to me, and I thanked the universe for giving me that little taste of the exquisiteness and the richness, if you will, of that essential place that is available to any of us who wish to take the journey there. Of course, you will have to leave off everything you think and believe about yourself, but that's another story.
Well, that's being naked. You see, that's it. It's like, I think when you have an experience that deep and that fulfilling is fulfilling, you feel totally fulfilled. You don't need anything else. And to me, that's naked. When you need nothing else, you don't need clothes, you don't need the garments of illusion. You are fulfilled.
I caught myself in another catch and release moment as I noticed and watched my impulses to like eat something. And I realized, A, it's a habit. B, I can feel it and see it. It's comforting. It's like it's familiarizing. And yet my body really, but if I stop, if I just stop and ask my body, wait, what? Are you hungry? We just ate. And sure enough, the
Your
body.
Your mother would have said that.
Well, right.
Your mother would have said, eat, eat, eat.
Right, eat, eat. And sure enough, I it isn't that. But I have to consciously shift from my looking outward toward that fulfillment. And I know full well it's only a brief, you know, couple chomps of pleasure. And that's it. You know, you got to have another one.
You said something very interesting that you said you have to... Well, you didn't use the word aware, but you have to be aware. I do believe that to get to that state of nakedness on all the levels that we talked about, one has to be aware that one is clothed. I mean, you don't have no need to take your clothes off if you are naked, right? So you're aware that you need to be naked, or you are aware that you're clothed, that you have put on a whole bunch of stuff over the essential you. And that awareness allows you to disrobe.
Now I want to address the person out there that's saying,
"You,
know,
you want
that?
To address the person out
yeah,
there
I want
when
to
I
address,
said disrobe."
Yeah, I want to address you. I want to address you out there who are going, "What does this have to do with my life?" You know, this sounds so like what? You know,
well,
pay the bills.
You don't have to say that. I mean, because it is to let other people discover what it has to do with their lives.
Oh, okay. All right.
What does it have to do with your life? I mean, you know, it's about translating it into your language.
Let me say this. This is Insight Out, the Naked Truth. And we're here every Tuesday night. And we hope that we're sharing ideas and impressions and art and humor that you can relate to. And you can. Tune into this. And next week, we're going to start asking for you to call in. This is only our second show, so we're just kind of getting our feet wet or our ears unwaxed, as the case may be. And we will, but we want to hear from you. And also, in the meantime, check out our website, thelaughingheart.org, where you'll find out a lot of information about what Rochelle and I have been doing for the last 40 years. And you'll see some videos of our work. And please, a reminder, go raw, real live food. They say we source the best, we sprout with care, we craft the finest, we pick with the promise. And you know something? I was at the factory, and they did all of those things.
Well, that's really neat.
So any last remarks on the subject of getting naked? It is good to be naked. That's what we've hoped we've at least got you to consider.
It is, because wearing clothes when it's warm, especially, can feel very uncomfortable. And it's getting warmer and getting warmer, not only on the globe itself, but internally we're getting warmer, because I think that we create a fever when we feel imprisoned, when we feel that we are no longer capable of being our true selves.
I like that game. That game where we used to play when we were kids, where like, you're getting colder, you're getting warmer, you're getting warmer.
To find
warmer.
Something, to find the light.
Yeah, to find that little place, that the deep little part inside us that like is, you know, it is saying, gimme, 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 but it's just kind of looking in the wrong direction, because what we're discovering as we get more naked is that this impulse for more is about, we want to give more of ourselves. We just need a safe place to let us out. And we invite you to come down and visit us here at Lupin Lodge in Los Gatos, and we'll provide a safe haven for you and hold you in our hearts and love and allow you to blossom. Wow, what an opportunity. So we'll be back next week. I've been toying with the idea of doing a show on having hurt feelings. Boy, I seem to encounter that an awful lot, and I thought if we could throw some light on it, on hurt feelings and how we deal with it, and hopefully uncover some of the absurdity in some of our reactions. We got a funny sketch about a woman who goes to a store to buy a hurt protector machines. I think you like it. So I think it's time for us to move along. I'm sorry we were delayed tonight by those noisy deer, but next week we'll be on time. I think we've worked out the technical difficulties. So we're saying good night to you from Lupin Lodge. This is Insight Out, the Naked Truth. I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, saying good night. Have a wonderful week.